before we get into the rest of the worship layout this morning. And so I need, I see Sister Evelyn is in the foyer. I need Sister Evelyn to come and come to the platform. And Pastor Jill, I need you to come and come to the platform this morning. And we'll take care of an important item of business. And then let Pastor Jill get back to the children. And we'll move on into our worship service this morning. So, Sister Evelyn.
Well, another year has passed, and we have a special birthday again. We had a birthday yesterday. No, Friday.
Friday.
So we just, as a church family, we would just like to wish happy birthday to Pastor Jill.
Amen. Great.
We will remember the works of your hands. We give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness.
You may be seated. Well, good morning. How is everyone?
Great.
Well, good, good. We had a good week in revival this past week. Hopefully all of you were able to come and be a part of that, at least some of the nights, if not all of the nights that the revival was going on. Hopefully you carry that revival spirit this week and throughout the rest of the year. Just because revival's over doesn't mean we can't still be revived.
Right.
So if you would, turn with me this morning to your bulletins. There's not a whole lot that I'm going to touch on, but there are a couple. The first one, if you guys did receive a bulletin this morning, you noticed that there was a little extra insert in there. We will be taking order forms for the Christmas poinsettias. You can either get a poinsettia in honor of or in memory of. All you need to do is fill this out. The cost for the flowers this year will be $6, and get this into the office by November the 24th. Then the other insert, not only is a guest registration, but also on the back is a list of all of the upcoming events. I made mention on this last Sunday. Take that insert out. If you don't hang on to the bulletin, at least hang on to this, put it on your refrigerator, and then you've got a constant reminder of all the upcoming events and times that is going on in the church. Today, directly following service, the NMI will be doing their Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes. It's kind of a wrapping party and lunch, so if you want to be a part of that, stay for lunch, and then directly after that, they'll put those shoeboxes together, and we can get them sent off. I know that they're hoping for around 30 boxes. Then tonight, if you are a part of the SDMI committee, there is an SDMI committee following service. There's also a vision committee previous to service at 5 o'clock. It does say that turkey money is due in tonight, but that is actually a misprint. We still have another full week to get that money in. I believe the 18th.
Yeah, we'll mail out the 18th.
18th. So you still actually have another week. Least of these over the past few years has gotten turkeys together for Thanksgiving for families that are in need for Thanksgiving, and so they've reached out to the local churches. $10 donation will get a 10-pound turkey.
Right.
So you can put that on your tithe check. Just put a memo that you want to put $10 towards a turkey, or you can fill out an envelope, slip that into the offering plate, or just get it into the church office by next Sunday evening.
Yes.
And then on the 18th, we'll mail those out. So last year was about 750, and they're thinking about 200 more families this year will be in need. So just a little under 1,000 families they're hoping to reach this year. Church board meeting for board members is tomorrow night at 7. And then this coming Friday, the children will have a quiz practice from 4 to 6. And then the following, that next day, excuse me, on Saturday, they will be going to Seymour. So if you need any more detail on that, you can see Sue Montgomery. But they're going to plan on leaving the church by 8, so they'll probably need to be here a little bit before that. So that's all that I have. The Ladies Fellowship has a skit that they want to do for you all.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I guess you all know It's pie time, and the ladies' ministry would like to encourage you to order your pies. And we don't have so much of a skit today as that we'd like to let you know what we do with the funds raised from the pie sales. Our pie sales are our biggest fundraiser, and we know you guys can go out to Brahms or Billigen or somewhere else and maybe get a cheaper pie. Not homemade, not in our kitchen, not by our hands, but cheaper. So we would like you to know some of the things that go into our pie making and the money raised from it. So we're just going to start with retreat. Our pie funds are the biggest amount is used toward retreat. And every year it gives us an opportunity as women to get together, refresh ourselves in God, have some downtime. And it's just a wonderful time. We bring in family members. We bring in, friends and family and just have a wonderful time.
Great.
And then we have the Valentine's Banquet. The wonderful thing about Valentine's Banquet is that we all get together. It's not just the women's ministry. It's in our entire church family, and we have such a great time. And that usually we use money there for the decorations, and we usually use our ticket money for the food. So then Paula is our wonderful crafts lady, I think you all know. But our crafts bring in the most outside presence. Half the time, I only know like a fourth of the people in the crafts. Cool. We can invite people from great work. So it's a wonderful thing. And then Miss Evelyn here and my kids. We have mother-daughter or mother-son, mother-child. That's what we'll call it. Mother-child event for Mother's Day. It's just such a blessing to bring our kids in. And we use the money there for decorations, once again, or a small gift for the moms. And then Miss Linda is holding a pie that we're going to give away today to remind you. We have two new pies this year. We have the Swedish apple, which Miss Linda has, that Miss Paula graciously made for us. And then if you stay for the wrapping today, the creamy peanut butter pie will be available on the dessert table, so you can have a bite of that. And so Miss Linda is also holding, we take food. We now are going to the Ronald McDonald House, and every 3 months, every quarter, we made dinner last time and served it to the people there. We're going to do crafts and cookies this in December. We have a breakfast coming up, and it's just a wonderful time to try to give back to the community. And I believe Lane is here today, and so we're trying to honor him a little bit. So because they've served him so well in Memphis, and we want to try to give back we can. So, someone out there today on the back of your bulletin has a giggle. So look on the back of your bulletin, very back page. Very back page. And if you have a smiley face with googly eyes, that's your giggle. And you have won this wonderful Swedish apple pie. Does anybody on the very back? Do you have it? There we have a winner. Yay! Evelyn. Okay. Evelyn has won. So she gets the delight of the Swedish apple pie. So thank you. There'll be a table out there at the end of service. They're $15 each for your 10-inch pie. So come see us. Thank you.
All right, at this time, we're going to ask you to stand. And during the revival, Larry said, find 12, find 13 people you haven't shook their hand yet this morning. Find a good half a dozen or so that you haven't said hi to this morning, and greet one another this morning. Thank you.
and my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me
Okay, good morning, everybody. Got a couple of things I want to remind us of. I'm not sure if I mentioned this last week, and I don't know how many of you guys keep up with the Dooleys on Facebook or their emails or whatever, but they, for the past week, have been unable to be home. They went to a place that I'm going to call Goroka. I don't know how they pronounce it, but they went there. I think it was kind of a shopping trip. They go once a year, and they were going to return home, and there was a huge, huge landslide on the main important road in Papua New Guinea. And so they were stuck from the 3rd until the 8th before they could get home. There were 9 lives lost. 2 of those, I think, were children. It was quite an ordeal in Papua New Guinea, but they are finally home. But remember their situation and that landslide and those families involved. The other thing I want to mention, and I'm sure most of you have heard about this on the news, the Philippines have had a terrible, terrible typhoon. And 3 weeks before this, they had an earthquake. So many people were living in tents from the earthquake. And then this typhoon comes along, and we have 6 districts that were hit, 2 very, very hard hit, and 4 of them were impacted by this typhoon. Headquarters, of course, is quickly dealing with this and working with them, communicating with them, and getting supplies to them that are needed and help. And they're estimating right now that we have probably 4,400 Nazarenes in the 2 hardest hit districts that have been affected by this. And the hardest hit area includes the district superintendent's house that is gone. No motor vehicle travel can go on. The DS is actually riding on bicycle, going around checking on his Nazarenes and churches and, you know, different people, seeing where things are at. Another church was destroyed that included a gym. Another parsonage was damaged in another area. And many of the churches are providing sleeping areas and food and housing for families that have no place to go. You know, a lot of them were already just living out of tents the way it was. So remember them, not only our Nazarenes, but this is all Filipinos. There's been a very sad tragedy there, and it's going to require a lot of work. So pray for the island of Philippine this week.
Thank you, Jennifer. We'd like to have our ushers come at this time to receive our weekly tithes and offerings. Troy, would you come and ask God's blessings on our offering?
Father, we thank you this morning again for the privilege of being in your house.
Amen. Yes.
Thank you for times of revival, and we praise your name for the blessings
yes.
that we received during this week. We ask again that the spirit of revival would continue on. We might see souls saved and growing in Christ. Bless this offering now to its purpose. Bless our service together and the message this morning. May it bless our hearts and encourage us, stir us and challenge us according to your will. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Reaches to the heavens.
This is my daily bread.
Go to the Lord in prayer this morning. We're reminded as we sing that song that so often the very air we breathe we take for granted. It's just there, always there. Sometimes our God, who is so faithful, is always there, always loving, always forgiving, always kind. If we're not careful, sometimes we can become comfortable and a little secure in our own situations and things, and we don't think so much about God until we get into times of trouble, or indeed something goes wrong. May God help us as we come out of the spirit of revival to realize that we need to be conscious of our need of God every moment of every day. That we need to acknowledge Him as Lord and Master of our life every moment of every day. We begin the day letting Him know that we need Him. We finish the day thanking Him for His blessing and all that He's done. And everything that we do through the course of the day is honoring to Him. He is the air we breathe. And may God forgive me for the times that I was not desperate for Him, but I was self-sufficient, complacent, focused on other things. May we truly be in tune with the Spirit of God as we go through this life and encounter every situation. There are a myriad of things that are listed within your bulletin. We encourage you to continue to take those things to your prayer closet and to remember them. I did visit for just a moment with Brother Randy, and he'll be consulting with some chemo doctors and things this week. And so we want to especially to continue to lift him up. And we'll have some fellows over the next couple of weeks who are in and out of the deer woods and various other things. We want to pray for their protection and that God will watch over them and give them a good time off and bring them safely back to us. We have others that are traveling indeed today, and we want to pray for God's traveling mercies over them. It is indeed great to see Mendenhall's here with us this morning. I have Elaine and Emily and Sam, and have all of them to be here in worship with us. And they're just ongoing situations in each of our lives. And I particularly want to remember Ruth, as she's been traveling back and forth to Kansas to help out with the great grandbaby. And so continue to pray for these situations. Let's stand together as we sing this morning. The altars are open to you. If you have need of a place to lay down your burdens or to lift up your praise, you feel free to come find a place at these altars this morning, and then we'll lift our voices together in prayer.
All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat.
Always want to celebrate the victories in answer to prayer as well, and sometimes things don't come to me until I step away from the pulpit. But just wanted to tell you that we want to rejoice with Bruce and Debbie. They'll be moving her mom tomorrow into Culpeper Place, where Don and Juanita are living. But they had some garage sale this past weekend, and all of the main items were sold, and everything went well. And so we thank the Lord for that answer to prayer with them. And you want to be praying for Bruce. He is scheduled to have a hip surgery, I believe, the 4th of December. And so be praying for him as he prepares for that. And then I just wanted to share with you, we have gone through some changes and challenges since the time that we set all of the budgets and things in motion. And indeed, we had made revival a line item this year. We'd gotten away from the capital funds campaign. But in that process, we'd had a couple of families that had geographically relocated. And indeed, that took about a $10,000 chunk out of our giving. And so as we came into revival week this week, our funds, our general fund was down. And we began to pray, and of course our workers covered both the singing and the preaching, and so we were able to kind of balance in between a two-worker budget some things. But God had laid an amount on our heart and mind, and I got the final word on Thursday morning that indeed that as you gave above your tithes and gave for special needs for revival, that indeed the amount that God had laid on my heart to pay our workers in the midst of that kind of balancing that budget, the money that you gave during revival indeed covered that amount. And so thank you for your obedience to God. Thank you for your extra giving. It's been challenging times, and so we just thank you for responding in obedience to God, and He has covered that need. And so thank you so very much. We wanted to celebrate that together with you, and so let's pray together this morning. Father, we are indeed grateful. We are awed. We shouldn't be. We know that you're an amazing God and you can do anything you want to do. But Lord, we're always excited when we see answered prayer. It increases our confidence. It moves our faith. It indeed blesses our hearts. And Lord, we thank you, and it helps us to affirm that we feel like we're being directed as we're even praying to pray within the will of God and do the things that He would have us to do. And so we thank you so very, very much, Father, for what has happened this past week in covering the expenses of revival. We thank you, Father, for answering prayers in regard to our families and even things like garage sales. And Father, we just indeed are appreciative that you indeed have the hairs on our head numbered. You are interested in every aspect and every detail of our lives. And it is exciting and a thrill to honor you, Father, with our giving as you have asked us to do in your word. And so, Father, we thank you to be a part of that exciting time. It's a blessing to our hearts, and we pray it'll be a blessing to others. Father, we know that we have also talked this morning about a list of things in the bulletin, a list of things that are written on our heart. There are needs out there today. There are people that are still sick, and there are people that need healing, and they need a touch from God. There are people that need financial prosperity. There are people who need job situations. There are people who need emotional encouragement today. They're depressed or discouraged, and Lord, they need an emotional lift today. Lord, we know that you are capable of answering every need that exists in this congregation today that exists in our world. So, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we lift you up today in our singing and in our praying. And Lord, we want our lives to honor you as we go about our business. Father, we even thank you for this opportunity this afternoon for fellowship and filling the boxes that will go out and pray. They will be a blessing to those people in need across the world, wherever they go, these shoe boxes, Father. And so, Lord, we thank you again for opportunities to reach out to our community. And Lord, we pray that even now we're still the after effects of ministering to over 400 people during the trunk or treat time, that indeed those pieces of candy, those flyers that went out will speak to someone's heart, and that somewhere in the course of that, that if there's a time where they say, I need to find a church, that Lord, maybe that'll be a part of their memory. Maybe that'll be a part of their remembrance. Lord, just use these things. Indeed, use us to reach out with the love of Jesus Christ to our community. And Lord, we thank you for the spirit of revival that continues with us. And Lord, we just ask today that you continue to lead, guide, and direct us, that you would indeed take care of our needs. And help us, Lord, as we continue to do our best with your help, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to live our lives in a way that would be exemplary of you, that would cause people to think about you, that would point people to you. And Lord, may we do our part as a disciple to continue to further the kingdom cause. And we'll just give you praise for all of this in the powerful and the precious name of your Son, Jesus. We love you. We thank you for being a part of every part of our life. And of law that we just want to say thanks. In the name of your Son. And all God's people said, amen.
Standing here in the presence of something more than merely real. There are no words to describe you. Or explain the way I feel. As you speak, I find healing for my soul. And your touch alone can make me as my heart cries holy, I will never be the same. Your mercies toward me last forever. Your faithfulness is true. And as you touch the call to my living, my mind is made brand new. I could never repay all that you've done. So use my life for the glory of your Son. And my heart cries holy. Everything untrue, oh Lord, I surrender all of it to you.
I want to direct your attention to a passage of Scripture that was not something I was highly acquainted with, but the Lord brought it to my attention this week, and I was excited that He did. There are times when you read through the Bible that there are things that leap out at you at the time, and other things that kind of you read through, and they just don't, you see them, they're there, but maybe you don't react to them. And then at later times, you can read over the same passage of Scripture, and maybe the part that had leapt off the page at you before indeed does not, at the time, you know, affect you the same way, but something new comes out, and you read that. And so this is probably not a book that a lot of people spend necessarily a lot of time in, but I want to turn your attention this morning to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. Indeed, there are those books in the back portion of the Old Testament where God was speaking to His prophets and giving them a direction for His people. Oftentimes, there are challenges there that that people did not want to hear, they did not like, and they were pretty hard on some of these prophets. But there was something here that was indeed exciting to me and kind of rebirthed something in me. And we had our evaluation meeting here not very long ago about Faith Family and Fun Day and Vacation Bible School and some of the things that we do, things that are now some that already were established traditions, some that are becoming established traditions. And one of the things that we have to be careful about is that when we do something, that we indeed just continue to do that thing the same way every time. It's not that the thing itself may not be good, but we may have to look at different ways to present something, or we may have to add something new or take something away that's been there for a while. Things change, people change, times change, and we want to continue to have a vision before us that the Holy Spirit is changing and updating and helping us to do the things that indeed that we need to do. And so as we have gone through the course of revival and as we've come out of revival, you know, we talked about the fact that David said in the 51st Psalms that indeed if God would restore to him the joy of his salvation, that he indeed would go and teach transgressors his way. And so the aftermath of revival is kind of where do we go from here, and how do we carry out these things that God spoke to us about and laid on our hearts and challenged us with in the course of revival services. Indeed, how do we now begin to implement that into the practical and everyday life of the church and our families and those kinds of things? And so I want to share with you this passage, two verses from Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Then the Lord replied, "Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay." And so that was very exciting to me because in the kindness of your hearts and in our relationship, we now are in the midst of our 28th year here at the church. And when I came here, the Lord birthed a vision in my heart and mind of kind of what our ministry was to be about here and what He wanted to accomplish. And we have shared that at different times and places and in some different ways. But really, that vision has not changed in its foundation. Now, sometimes the way that we go about trying to bring the vision to pass can change because times change. But we want to think about pursuing that vision. And so I hope this works out. Sometimes technology, I'm kind of technologically illiterate, and I try things and they don't necessarily always work out the way that I think they're going to, but I have great technology people in the back and they help me out. And so indeed, Mike, do we have that picture? This may not be large enough for you to see distinctly, but it's the best we could do. And then I wasn't even thinking about the format, or we probably maybe could have turned it sideways, but I indeed shot this from some previous paper. What I have here in my hand is a booklet that was put together in 2006 that was a part of the ongoing vision of the church. It was a topographical survey of our property. It was a geological survey of what makes up this sinkhole and all the things that are in the back. But it was a continuation, because when I came here in May of 1986, there were several things that were a part of our coming here. At that point in time, there was a two-story building sitting on the property. We were worshiping on the second floor of that two-story unit. And the district superintendent, when he presented this opportunity to me, said, there's some things that need to be done. We need to build a parsonage. We need to grow a church. And there will be a time when we'll need to build a sanctuary and the kinds of facilities that will allow us to make use of this property in the way that that we think it should be done. And indeed, in October of 1987, we completed the parsonage. And then at a later date, about 8 years ago, the church sold the parsonage to us, which is now our personal home, and allowed us to have a place that in retirement or in change that we actually have a place to go to that we can call home. And so that part of the vision was completed. As we got into things about 1992, we launched a program to build this particular sanctuary. And we dedicated that. I believe it was around May of 93 that we did a dedication. The interesting thing was the very first service, kind of major service that was held in this church when it was completed, before we even had the cross up or those kind of things, was the Thanksgiving community service was held here. It was one of the first things that happened in this building when we opened up the sanctuary. And we again this year, for the third time now in the rotation, we will host the Thanksgiving community service. All the churches of the community, their folks will be coming here on Tuesday night, and we will have a great service. Pastor Ray Brinson from Victory Baptist Church will be bringing the message. The school choir will be here. And so we've been able to host, because of the size of our facility, we've been able to host an event that not every church in town can host, and we've been a part of that rotation. And so that's kind of exciting to see how that has come through the course of time. But indeed, then in 2006, we begin to talk about how we could accomplish the third phase of the original vision as far as the facility was concerned, which was to be able to build something that would be a multi-purpose facility that could house additional educational space, house a gymnasium, house a commercial kitchen, house some youth facilities that would be a part, that would be kind of the completion of the facility vision that God had given. And we hit a point in time when we were in stride and we thought we were just about ready to launch that, and then there was a change in the congregation, and so we had to kind of back off of that. And we haven't really talked about it a lot, but sometimes the things that I know and have been a part of for 28 years, some of y'all don't know. And so it seemed pertinent this morning that as we come out of revival and as we think about trying to help people understand where we're going and what our thought process is and what we want to accomplish, is that the vision that God laid out in the beginning was to create a church where families could come and worship Him together. Now, I know this is my struggle. This is my personal thing, and I'll just tell you this. I know that in church growth in the last few years, they keep talking about targets, and they keep talking about where you're going to aim at, and they keep getting things down to very specific happening where, like, you know, maybe you need to minister to families between age 20 and age 35 with small children, and everything you do targets that audience. I still struggle with that, because I think God likes people of all ages. And that's a little bit of a struggle. You know, sometimes you can have a target, but that doesn't mean that, you know, the bullseye is a part of the target. There's still an entire target. There are circles that are bigger than just the bullseye. But if you hit the bullseye, that may be the sweet spot of the whole target. And so I think that's how we kind of have to think about that thing. It doesn't mean that when we target a particular audience that nobody else matters. I don't think we can think that way. Because I think God loves everybody, and indeed families and everybody need to be a part of that. But sometimes as we specialize in particular things, it may help us to actually bring a point of growth in. And so all of these things have been a part of this vision. When this passage to Habakkuk, when God spoke to him, it says the Lord replied, and he talked about the revelation. The word revelation in the Hebrew means a vision to the prophet. That's what it means. It's talking about what God said to the prophet, what's on his heart and mind. And so, indeed, all of this has been a part of the prophetic vision. He said to him first, write it down. Well, there it is. There's a part of it. That's, you know, that's part of the thing. It's written down. Some years prior to that, in about 1998, we went through a working of a strategic plan that would develop out over the course of time. That we have that in a booklet. It's in writing, a strategic plan to facilitate the growth of the church. We have site plans that talk about the possibilities, how we can use the property, the fact that there's a sinkhole, and the fact that there are certain city ordinances that exist mean we can only do certain things on that sinkhole because the law won't let us do anything else. And so we've had to kind of rethink the vision a little bit. And we've had to talk about moving phase three of the building over here instead of being on the south side of the property. We have to talk about moving the property, the parking, from here to back there because that's the only way we can get that use in there and use up that property. So there's a lot of things that have had to be static in the sense that they have to be changing and adaptable in the vision. But the vision is still this. We would like to have a facility that serves families. A place where people of God can come together and learn about God, a place where they can come and fellowship, a place where they can experience God, where they can experience each other, and indeed where we can grow and invite always other people to come and be a part of us. The scripture in Habakkuk also says, write it down, make it plain, help people to understand what it is you're trying to accomplish. We want to fill these pews. We want people to be in them. We want people to come to know Jesus. It's not so much the promotion of Nixa Church of Nazareth, it's the promotion of God, promotion of Jesus Christ as Savior. But we do believe that the Bible teaches certain things, and that's who we are as the Church of the Nazarene. We teach that particular theology. We teach that message. We believe we have something to offer people that can improve their lives. It is better to know Christ than not to know Christ. And so we continue to reach out to people in our community. Write it down, make it plain, and then this was kind of the interesting thing. And this is kind of a phrase that actually has become kind of one of those catchphrases in our current culture. Wait for it. That's what God said to the prophet. Write it down, make it plain, wait for it. It will come. It will come. And as I thought about that and as I prayed over that, God began to deal with me a little bit about just the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus spent 33 years here on this earth, 30 years in preparation and 3 years in actual ministry. Oftentimes people want to jump into ministry without preparation. We can also look at it from the standpoint of saying people continually put things off and don't get involved. It's a matter of following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. It's a matter of following God's timing on certain things and issue. But God began to bring my attention to the ministry, the three-year ministry of Jesus Christ. And there were some things that were a part of that ministry that I think in general principle, this is not all the specifics, but in general principle, have to be a part of who we are as a church and how we go about our specific plans. As we think about trying to fulfill some kind of a vision that will take us to the next phase, that will take us to the next place that indeed God wants us to be. We've even discussed things now in order to get from here to there that may be one of the things that we want to do in the interim, because when we built this sanctuary, people were so tired of the temporary and that they wanted it to be very permanent. And so wooden pews were a key part of the plan. We discussed chairs, we discussed those things. Oh no, that we weren't going to do that. But we've just recently been talking about the possibility of taking these pews out of here, being able to increase fellowship space, being able to multitask this part of the facility so that with the moving of chairs and things that we can increase its use as we grow a congregation and move from this to that. It's on the table. It's part of a discussion. So it's not like we're locked in black and white to things the way they've always been, but we're taking the foundation or the base of what we're trying to accomplish and trying to figure out how do we do that in the course of moving and changing things. But I want to talk to you this morning specifically about the three things that I saw God brought my attention to in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ that have to be a part of how we go about what we go about, whatever it is. The first thing is this, that in Jesus' ministry, there was attraction. And just a minute, I'm going to read some scriptures to you, but the word attraction means to draw by emotional or aesthetic appeal. People see something that they want to check out. Have you ever been on a trip where you kind of have planned a trip, but on the way from home to wherever you were going, you saw something that you didn't plan time to stop and see, but you saw something, you said, I want to go back and visit that. I'm going to go back and see that later. Sometimes we see things that we're drawn to because of what we see and what we think they might mean or what they might represent. So we're attracted by visibility. But sometimes we're attracted because of an emotional drawing. When I was 16 years old, my brother contracted viral encephalitis, lost his brain faculties, and lost 60% of his past recall, virtually has no short-term recall now. And you all pretty much know the story from then till now. He's been handicapped, and I am now his legal guardian, and we have to contend with various things. But I remember when my mom and dad were younger, and in the early days, I remember my mom and dad being the Christian people that they were and listening to Christian radio and watching Christian TV and going to church all the time. They heard about a guy who seemed to have the gift of healing. And I remember distinctly my mom and dad driving to North Carolina to be in a crusade and take my brother to give him at least the opportunity for God to touch him and bring healing into his life way back many years ago. And for all of the kinds of things that happened, the prayer meetings at our church or the prayers of people all around the world or the prayers all at one concentrated moment or taking my brother to a place where a healer was. God didn't choose to heal my brother. But my mom and dad were attracted by the results that had been a part of that. Nothing wrong with that. Use every option you can. Seek every possibility. Let God go through whatever method He wants to go through. I think it's worth checking it all out. But the idea there is that people can have emotional attachment to certain things. They can hear about things that are happening and they can be emotionally driven and say, I'd like to be a part of something like that. They can say, I would like to be involved in something that has that kind of impact. I want you to listen just very quickly to some passages in the book of Matthew as Jesus goes through his ministry and see what happens here repeatedly. Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. And he healed them, large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. And then we can jump to Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. We can jump to the 34th verse of the same chapter. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave the region. They weren't always happy about what Jesus was doing. They were scared sometimes of what they saw. It was more than they could handle. But it drew a crowd. Matthew chapter 13. And verse 2, such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. And then in Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. And then just one more this morning, Matthew 15, verses 29 and 30. Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. I'm convinced that if people know God is on the spot, if things are happening that God is doing, people are attracted to that. As that news spreads over and over again, as the news spread, as people heard this, they indeed went to see it. They were drawn by having their needs met. My mom and dad took my brother because they were hoping to have his need met. People will come to a place that they think God can touch their lives and meet their needs. Places where they find teaching and healing and forgiveness and a direction for their lives. The idea is to create events or opportunities for people to be on campus, in facility, exposed to other people, programs and purposes that are going on in this place. And let me just tell you this. The most attractive thing about any church is the testimony of its people that they like what's going on. How many of you have ever made a recommendation to somebody about buying a car, going to see a show, watching a particular movie? You got to see this. You got to do that. I want to share this. And people go, okay. That's what needs to happen. At the point that you believe God is ministering to you in your church, that you want to share that with other people, it begins to attract them to your church. Not only does there need to be attraction, but there needs to be assimilation. Assimilation means to absorb into a culture or to make similar. The thing that came across my mind as I was thinking about this is how do we once we touch people, once we have the crowd, how do we draw out of the crowd the people that God wants to be here? How do we connect with those people? How do we say to them, you matter, we care, we'd love to have you be here? How do we assimilate them? How do they become part of the? And the first thing that came to my mind was, because we have big family. And there's always happenings going on, and you have families too, but we have both sides of our family, Jennifer's side, my side, both large families. Cheryl is part of my family, and we get together, and there are large numbers of people that meet in the fellowship hall. It's about Thanksgiving time again. We'll have 70, 80 people meet in the fellowship hall for Thanksgiving night. And there's just all kinds of stuff going on. But I'm thinking about the people. As the generations go down, there's constantly new people coming to our family because everybody's kids fall in love with somebody and bring somebody new into the family. And the first time they come to a Swearingen family gathering, it like scares them out of their wits. It's like, what in the world is this? What have I gotten myself into? But I have a cousin who married an individual. And that individual called me recently, actually called me after the fact. I'd seen them at another family gathering over Labor Day. And this is what they said to me. All you Swearingens are nice people. This was coming from an individual who had married into our family, and their family experiences had not always been positive. There had been some rifts and things in their past. And they said, you guys get together and you always want to get together. You always have fun. You always like each other. You're just the nicest people. And I said, well, we have our flaws, you know. But it was nice to hear that from somebody on the outside. There are often times that there are families that when somebody comes in from the outside, they really don't want them to be a part of the family. And they kind of hold them at arm's length. And the bottom line is, if we don't want to welcome new people, if we don't want people to perhaps take our jobs, do our stuff, become part of our church, then we may give them the signal to say, hey, we like the way we are. When I pastored my very first church, when I took it, there was 13 people there. We grew to about 55 to 60 people, and the Sunday school superintendent, who was about 65 years old at the time, came to me and he said, oh, Pastor Gary, isn't this just the right size of church? So you're talking to the wrong guy. The Great Commission says we're never at the right size. Oh, isn't this just the right number? And that's how it is sometimes. We kind of get to a point of satisfaction or comfort, and then all of a sudden people don't feel welcome anymore. Kind of like you're messing with us. Don't mess with us. And sometimes families are that way. We want to assimilate. We want to connect people and help them become a part. Jesus tried to bring out of those crowds, Jesus saw people that he invited to be a part. If you go back to the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew, and you go to verse 18, it says this, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, and they were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets. And Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now, I want to move you on to the ninth chapter of the book of Matthew. I want to read to you an event there out of that chapter, beginning at verse 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. And while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And on hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Jesus called these men out of a crowd, and then this coolest thing happened. Matthew said, "Jesus invited me, I should invite others." And he invited people who didn't know Jesus. Isn't that the coolest thing? When lost people get saved, they got other lost people to hang out with that need to be saved as well. Assimilation is giving people a place to be, a place to belong, a sense of caring, a sense of involvement, a sense of fulfillment, a place to work and do what God lays on their heart to do, and then they tell other people. Making them feel a part of the body, connecting in such a way as we can keep them. There's attraction, there's assimilation, and then there's action. The bottom line is, folks, every person who started out on the fringe of the crowd should eventually get to the place where they're reproducing, where they're part of the workforce, where they're bearing fruit. The word action means to perform a special function or a specified function, to produce an effect. It means volunteering to be involved. We move people past the point of saying, "That's attractive, and yeah, I'd like to be a part of that," to saying, "What can I do?" At some point, Christian people have to mature past, "What are you going to do for me?" And in spiritual maturity, we should move to the point of plugging in and say, "What does God want to do through me? Here I am. Use me. What do you need? What can I do? How can I help?" We have to move to the point of action. And the way for us to help that is for resourcing and training. Listen to this in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. "He called his 12 disciples to him and he gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and heal every disease and sickness." And then it says in verse 5, the first portion, "These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions." We all have personalities, we all have idiosyncrasies, we all have flaws, we all have weaknesses and strengths, and we all have to get along. I know that one of my things is I have to learn to do a better job of delegating. I know that. I'm working on it. Some people don't think I am, some people don't think I'm getting anywhere. I'm just spinning my wheels. But at any rate, I can just tell you from my heart, I'm trying. I'm working on that. I'm trying to get to the point of release and involvement and all those kinds of things. And old habits, you know, it's hard to break loose sometimes. But I'm trying. I'm aware, okay? And in Matthew 28, Jesus commissioned these fellas. He sent them out. He told them, he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go." In other words, I'm giving it to you. "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, I'm standing by a fire last night, and I'm having a conversation, and I'm thinking, I'm getting my whole sermon preached to me that I'm going to preach tomorrow morning. But I think that's cool. I just think that God is affirming some things, and indeed we're trying to figure out, how do we make this happen? No, this is not all the specifics. This is the principles. But I believe that if we attract people, if we do things that increase our visibility and put our name before the public and give them an opportunity to say we exist, that then we have the opportunity for them to visit in one way or another, and we can assimilate and connect and help them to be a part of us. And then as they become a part of us and as they grow, as we resource and train and give them the opportunity, then they will become active. They will serve. Because here's the deal, folks. If the kingdom is going to grow, if the church is going to move forward, we have to do more than come in here to get something. We have to attend faithfully. We have to give obediently. and we have to serve fervently. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. We have to grow up and get past the point of what's in it for me. And we have to invest ourselves. We have to obey the Word of God. We have to do what the Word says. We have to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. We have to commit our income, which is God's money anyway, by the way. You cannot successfully be a part of anything if you're not investing in it financially. Nobody will believe anything that you try to sell them if you don't buy it yourself. And we have to give our service. What are you doing? What ministry are you plugged into? What are you doing to build the kingdom of God through Nixa Church of the Nazarene? It's part of the deal. Are you a player or a spectator? It comes down to all of us working together and lifting up Jesus Christ to our community. He was attractive then. If we lift him up correctly, he's attractive now. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can still do the things he did then. Why couldn't he do them through here as well as anywhere else? We just have to believe and jump in and get involved. God put this church here on purpose. God put each of us here on purpose to work together, to lift up his name for the sake of his kingdom. Invest yourself. Involve yourself. The rewards are many. The results, only God can know. But God wants to use this place and these people to build his kingdom. Lord, restore me the joy of my salvation. Get me fired up. And then, Lord, help me to go teach transgressors your way. Share our faith. Share his love. And this is what he said. I will build my church. If you do what you're supposed to do, it enables him to do what he knows he can do. Stand with me, if you would, this morning. Pursue the vision. A full facility, full of people, full of the Holy Spirit. I believe God wants us to be full of him. And all the rest will follow. Amen. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. No music playing, but just a brief moment. Just wonder if there's someone here that would just feel a sense or a need to pray, something that you need to leave at an altar, something that you need to commit to God. We want you to have that opportunity. It might have to do with this message. It might have nothing to do with this message. God may have spoke something totally different to you. And your mind may have been a complete other place through this whole message. But if God's speaking to you and you need to respond, that's the key. Have you said yes to whatever God's speaking to you about? Father, we are grateful for this day and for your word. Lord, we want to write down what you're impressing upon us. We want to make it plain. And then we want to wait. While we're waiting, Father, we don't want to be doing nothing. While we're waiting, we want to be doing everything that allows it to perpetuate itself. Lord, we just want to be obedient. We want to be open. We want you to have your will and your way in our heart and life. Anyone with any need of any sort. Thank you so much for your attention. We will be having communion in the evening service. We invite you to come back and to be a part of that service tonight. And thanks to all of you who will stay and fix the shoeboxes. They're going all over the world. It will make a difference. God will use you. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your time and for your investment and involvement. God will build his church as we make ourselves available to him. Brother Brett Caldwell, if you will, pray a closing prayer for us, please.